All right, I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of giving us to come here before you, Lord, and spend time with you and spend time with each other, Lord. I just thank you that your presence is here, that your presence will continue to be here, Lord, that your presence will continue in our lives and speak to us, Lord, and I just thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for everything you're going to do today and that your words will come out today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do things a little bit different today. I wanted to start with a little lesson, then we're going to go into worship. What God put in my heart to speak about today is worship. And I feel like I have talked about this a few weeks ago. I did talk about worship, but I'm going to go in a different, look at it in a different light. And so if we could turn to Psalms 149, and we're going to read the whole chapter. If you have it, go ahead and turn there. If you don't, you could follow along on the screen. It all works out. All right, so we'll go ahead and just get started reading. In verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he adorns the humble with salvation." All right, so I'm going to stop there real quick. I'm going to ask, how many of us take the Bible seriously? We take it serious, right? We don't think of it as a game, right? It's not something. And I've been feeling in my spirit, I've been feeling that it's time to get serious, more serious about this. The time of Sunday and Wednesday only worship is gone. That's not going to cut it anymore. That it's going to be, we need to move into a time of worship where we worship every single day. That is not just on Sunday and Wednesdays. It becomes a lifestyle. It's going to be like, it's not an option anymore. That it's time to truly, truly go after the things of God, to go to the next level. Not being okay with mediocre faith. Not being okay with being okay. A few weeks ago, Nina, during worship, got a prophetic word. And she said, if you're happy with what you've always had, then you'll always... If you're happy with what you've always had, then do what you've always done. If you want more, then you have to give more. And that has stuck with me ever since she said it. Because I'm really happy where God has taken me and where he's placed me. I'm happy with the praise and worship team. I'm happy with the youth group, where the youth group is at. I'm happy where the praise and worship team at. And I'm happy where this church is at spiritually. But I'm not satisfied. I still want more. I want it to grow even more. And that has sticking with me because in order for the praise and worship team to grow more, I have to give more. In order for the youth group to grow, I have to give more. In order for the church to grow, I have to give more. If not, it's always going to be the same. One main way of growing, and that's where worship comes in, is worshiping. Worshiping every single day. It's not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. Every single day. And why we worship is important. Does anybody know why? Anybody know why we worship? You guys are really loud today. We worship because God is worthy, right? No? He's not worthy? He's worthy. God is worthy. He's forever worthy. He's never going to stop being worthy. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, God is still worthy of worship. Jesus is the name above every name because he paid the highest price. The thing we got to remember, though, he's worthy. He's the greatest name and all that stuff. And none of that thing, the stuff ever changes. Jesus never changes. His love for us never changes. His worthiness never changes. His holiness never changes. It's not about a feeling. Because you know what? We might wake up tomorrow and not feel like worshiping. We might come today on Wednesday. We come through the door and it's just been a hard day. And we don't feel like worshiping. But the thing is, it doesn't have to do anything with us. Because who's worthy? God is worthy. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that because we're feeling like it, we're going to praise God. Everywhere it says about praising God, it says, for he is worthy, we praise him. It doesn't have to do with us. Another thing that worship does is puts us in agreement with heaven. Agreement is a powerful thing. Very powerful. In Deuteronomy, it says, one can chase 1,000, but two can make 10,000 to flight. So the agreement, the way I understood that, sorry if I'm wrong, but one person, right, could chase 1,000, and two could put 10,000 to run. So with two people in agreement, their power multiplied, what is that, 10,000 times. That's just with two people. That's the power of agreement. Horsepower works the same way. I studied horsepower. Remember the last time we were talking? I had no idea how horsepower worked. To me, it seems so weird, horsepower, because like, does anybody even know what like an actual horsepower is? Like, do you guys see the shuttle launch, the satellite launch, couple days ago? Anybody see that? It was really cool, but they were saying that it was 37 million horsepower. And in my head, it was like, so if I had 37 million horses, I could get to space. So I just thought it was really funny, but horsepower is very interesting because it was developed with carriages, obviously, right? So one horse is one horsepower. Two horses is three horsepower. Because when two horses are in agreement running together at the same time, their power actually like multiplies and it's like an other horse is there. And that's the power of agreement. When we agree with heaven, when we agree as a congregation for something, it's very powerful. We have to line up our lives, our situations into heaven's reality. The way we line ourselves up with heaven is by worship, by singing heavenly songs. And heavenly songs is not, oh, that sounds nice. Songs. It's not that. It's songs that declare who God is, that he's worthy, that he's holy. Like the songs that you look through Revelations and the ones they sing, holy, holy, God most holy. Those are heavenly songs. When we put in ourselves in agreement with heaven, heaven comes down. But if we are in agreement with fear, with depression, with anxiety, we give those things authority in us. And it becomes how we see the world. If we agree with fear, we start seeing the world in fear. If we agree with depression, we start seeing the world in depression. And if, when we become like in agreement with fear, whatever, anything it is, every decision we make becomes fear-based, becomes depression-based, I guess that kind of fits, anxiety-based. It all becomes based on what we agree with. But the same thing happens when we agree ourselves with heaven. We see how God wants us to see. We see heavenly things. We start seeing the world how God wants us to see it. Worship is all about worthiness, God's worthiness, and agreement. And we are to agree with heaven. And when we agree with heaven, we declare the same things that are in heaven. Jesus said, pray like this. He gave an example. It doesn't mean exactly use these words. He's like, this is an example of what you could use if you're lost. And one of the things he said was, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. If you take a moment and look through the Bible and see what heaven is like, there's no sickness, right? There's no fear. There's no depression. In heaven, they're not praying for healing. In heaven, they're not, how do I say? They're not, I guess they're not praying for salvation. They're not praying for forgiveness. In heaven, they're just praising. Countless times in the Bible, I see praise, praise. Heaven is always almost right next to praise. I feel like they go together. Heaven, praise. Heaven, praise. Heaven, worship. That's all the things that are in heaven. That's what it looks like to me reading the Bible. I don't know. I've never been there. But that's what it looks like to me. In heaven, They're not praying for the sick. They're not preaching to the lost. They're not doing any of that stuff. They're just glorifying God. And praying for the sick, preaching to the lost is what we're called to do here on earth. Don't get me wrong. Don't say it. Like, we have to do that. That's apart from this. But when we worship, we put ourselves in agreement. I really liked what Martha said last week. And it just felt like it went along with what my spirit was saying, what has been speaking to me. And she said that healing is not a promise. Healing is a provision. Healing is already given to us. It's not something that we might receive. No, we already have it. We just need to align ourselves with heaven in order to see it. And we put ourselves in agreement with heaven by praise and worship. And like I said earlier, many people have ideas of what heaven is like. There's even a show that's actually pretty funny, pretty good, The Good Place. I really enjoy that show. And it shows some interesting things about the faith, about our faith, and about basically all the faiths. It's not like a Christian-based, and it's just, it's very, very, very interesting the way they, what they say. And it's got me thinking. But the heaven, the Bible says heaven is full of praise and worship. That the saints and elders are singing, holy, 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 holy. So they're singing the holiness of God day and night. And one very important thing is that we are called to be worshipers first. We're called to be worshipers first. A lot of us think as worship, like worship leaders, right? That in some churches, that's a job. That's a paying job, a full-time job, right? But the thing is, all of us are called to be worshipers, not just a worship leader, not just the people in ministry. Everyone is called to be a worshiper. Everyone. Nobody that's a Christian is, excused from not being a worshiper. It doesn't matter if you've seen heaven and seen how worship is in heaven. You're still called to worship here on earth. We are all called to worship. That is a very important thing that God has given us as a communication towards Him. I work as a computer tech at the high school. But that's not my main job. My main job is a worshiper. So you could kind of say that I'm a worshiper computer tech. And that we could do that to all of our jobs. Whatever we are, plumber, electrician, worshiper, plumber. I know this sounds funny, but we should treat it that way, that it's something that we get to do and we have the authority to do, and that it's a good thing. So we go on to verse 5. I know I kind of skipped, went on a pretty long rant. But verse 5 says, let the godly exude in glory, let them sing for joy on their beds. I think this is funny because let them sing for joy in on their beds. You don't have to be standing up to praise God. You could be laying down, you'd be going to sleep. I recently started this thing called a worship coach. It's by this worship leader named Rick Pino. And one of the things he said was that he longed for a time where he even worshiped in his sleep, that his dreams that he would be worshiping. And so then that's what this scripture reminds me of. But anyways, verse 6, it says, let the high praises of God be in their throats and the two-edged sword in their hands. The high praises of God be on their throats. This is very, very interesting because our enemies, when we worship, when we align ourselves with heaven, our enemies are stripped of all power. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and the punishment on the people, on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Mitch, you could go ahead. Sorry. When we align ourselves with heaven, situations begin to change. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It starts to change. All you have to do is align yourself with heaven. A few weeks ago, we all heard about the hurricane that hit Arizona, right? Everybody heard about that? Well, it was a hurricane that was going towards Mexico, and it just continued going through into Arizona. And we got a part of it here. It just rained really hard. And I guess it was just the pastor in me, but I started thinking about how I could change that into a sermon. And I started thinking about what they taught me in school about the eye of the storm. Right? Where's the safest place of a tornado or a hurricane? The eye of the storm, right? That's what the world tells, right? That's the safest place. To me, the safest place is far away from it. Not even close. But sometimes we're in a storm and we decide to just sit in the middle because it's comfortable. It's we're safe. It's not hurting anybody, and we're just safe there. And sometimes we get stuck there, though, because we got all excited, we get up, and then we try to break through the storm, but we just get hit right again. Right? That's happened to all of us. We try to get up out of this trial, out of this storm, and something, it hits us as soon as we get excited, and we come back down and back sit in the middle. I felt like that so many times, but the thing is, in the spiritual, when we start praising, when we start worshiping in the middle of the storm, like literally in the middle, in the eye of the storm, we start worshiping. We're able to power through the storm and get out of that storm. When we praise, when we worship, we just power through the storm. We don't stay in the middle. We get away from it. We go above it. In Psalms, I believe it's 23, it says that our praises enthrone God. Jesus is enthroned on our praises. What is a throne? It's a chair, right? Who usually sits on a throne? I'm not talking about the toilet. I'm talking about the governmental throne. A king sits there, right? A king. And this is where the king does his decrees. This is where the king rules from his throne. People go up to the king on the throne and ask for things, right? We all see those movies, right? So when we praise, Jesus becomes enthroned on our praises. It's very, very, very cool, very interesting that God, Jesus, decided to place his throne with us as close as words. As close as words are to us. That's where he decided to place his throne. Because everybody, like, just say something. Just say whatever. Ah, whatever. Just say, do it. Right? That's how close God is. As soon as you start declaring his praises, that's how close God is. I don't know if there's even a measurement between like the tongue and the word leaving. But that's where God is enthroned. And just think about it. He didn't make it on the sun. He didn't make it on the clouds. He didn't make it on those diamond planets that they found and all those fire, ice planets, whatever. He put it in us, his throne room in us. And wherever we start praising, guess what? We make that place. We make that place the throne room. If you start praising at work, you make that your workroom a throne room. Here, if we start praising here at church, we make it a throne room. Start praising at school, it's a throne room. Your bedroom, you start praising there, it becomes a throne room. And that's where you exalt Jesus. Wherever you praise Jesus, wherever you exalt him, he becomes the king of that place, and he has command, he has authority. He's the commander of that place now. So our job is to go out there and praise. Go out there and praise. We are called to be worshipers. Remember what I asked you in the beginning? Do you take the Bible seriously? Do you think the Bible is serious? And so let's read Psalms 149 again. But this time, see it as a, yes, I'm going to do that because the Bible says to do that. Because it's a serious thing. Praise the Lord. We got to praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. We got to sing. It doesn't say hum. It doesn't say talk. It doesn't say whisper sing. It says sing with proclaiming. Praise the Lord. It's capital letters. You know what capital letters means when it's written? It's yelling. It's loud. His praise in the assembly of the godly with a, what's that called? An exclamation mark. What does that mean again? It means commanding loudly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Another word for Israel is his people. We're his people. Let us be happy. Let us be glad with our maker, with our creator. Let the children of Zion, that's us, the children of the church, rejoice in the king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Yeah, the Bible says dancing's okay. It actually encourages it right there. Making a melody to him with a tambourine and a lyre. A lyre is not like a person who tells lies. It's like a string instrument. With tambourine. For the Lord takes pleasures in his people, and he adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exude in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and the two-edged swords in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment to the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor of all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Praise has so much power. So much power. And so now we're going to go into a time of worship, some time of praise and worship. And I encourage you guys to just let go and worship and praise. Because this is a time that for you to exalt Jesus, for you to enthrone him in your life, to enthrone him in this place.